Welcome to Delight in Grace, the teaching ministry of Rich Powell, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. This life we have is a stewardship entrusted to us by our Creator. We dare not live it out mindlessly. Today's passage is Ecclesiastes 10, 12 through 20, in which Solomon calls us to discipline and grace in the way we communicate and the way we conduct our daily affairs. Listen to Rich's challenge to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and the life to come so that we can do the hard things in this life. Let's listen in. This is the second part of the study on Ecclesiastes 10, 12 through 20. It was first preached on July 15, 2018 at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. You can hear more at delightingrace.com.
This is a life lived well in dialogue. And we are called to be salt and light. Paul said to the Colossians, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." That's what I mean by skillful. Here is a truth, and I want you to remember this. Skillful words are never damaging to a person. In other words, in your dialogue, you don't speak to attack a person. You can attack an idea and do battle with an idea, but you're not attacking the person. Big difference. We are called to be salt and light. And salt and light operate and are effective by two means. Number one, contact. And number two, contrast. Let's be salt and light through our dialogue, our skillful dialogue. Thirdly, a life lived well in dialogue that is helpful, that is skillful. Number three, that is thoughtful. Look with verse 14 with me. "A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what is to be. And who can tell him what will be after him?" Thoughtful dialogue. Now this word multiplies words there. It can be emphasized, it can be translated in a couple of ways. First of all, in the sense of many, many words. The volume of his words. In other words, this person comes to you and gives you the dump truck of communication. Whoosh. Lets it all out. Tells you everything he knows. And his mouth is miles ahead of his brain. That's folly. Nobody enjoys that. Nobody likes to be the recipient of that. Or when it says, "A fool multiplies words," the sense that it can be is that they are powerful. The words are powerful. In other words, there's a sense of eloquence to this person. So he might be a highly intelligent individual who is very skilled at making simple things very complex. And they can lead you astray because they want you to be impressed with their vocabulary and their capacity to think and reason. You see, no one admires a know-it-all. Some people feel they must know it all because they're dealing with their insecurities. But there are those who have their minds made up despite the facts, and they spend their words spinning information. We're all familiar with this, aren't we? And of course, it doesn't describe any of us, does it? James was a half-brother of Jesus, but it is the inspired word of God. But James says, "Let a man be swift to" what? Here. First, before you speak, first what? Listen. Listen. That's what we're missing today. And by listen, we don't mean just hear the words they're saying. Listen to the person. Things have become so polarized today because everything is sound bites. We've got this sound bites, and so I developed this sound bite to counter this sound bite. That's how politics operates today, on sound bites. It's nauseating. That's how most conversations go. Listen, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Don't be ready to shoot your mouth off. Listen, we are called to love God. You are called to love God with all your mind. So let your mouth show that. That you love God with all your mind. Because our dialogue is to be thoughtful. Instead of just shooting the mouth off in abundance of words, we are thoughtful with our words. And speaking of thoughtful, jump down now to verse 20, the last verse in the chapter. Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich. For a bird of the air will carry your voice, and some winged creature tell the matter. What is Solomon telling us here? When it comes to thoughtful dialogue, now get this. There is a dialogue that you have every day. And who is that dialogue with? Yourself. You talk to yourself. The things that you say to yourself. Whatever you say to yourself, you know what that is? That is your attitude. An attitude is nothing but a habit of thought. And your attitude is the things that you say to yourself over and over and over again. What you don't like about that person, or how that person wronged you, or what you do like about that person. It's not just negative, it can be positive. But see, that's the point. That's your attitude. And so what is he saying in your thoughts, in the dialogue that you have with yourself? Speak truth to yourself even in private. What you say to yourself in private will eventually spill out in moments of thoughtless emotion. Did you know that? That person that you keep telling yourself how much you dislike them or how much they've done ill to you, the next time they bump you, then what's in there is all going to spill out. That's how it works, isn't it? You know what that is? That's folly. That's foolishness. That's not wisdom. So wisdom happens in the very thoughts that I think. The things that I say to myself. Those thoughts might be bitterness toward the powerful. Or they might be resentment of those who have more than you. Or they might be thoughts of fantasy toward an attractive person. You see what he's saying here? It is Jesus who said that what defiles a person originates in the heart. This is why what the psalmist said in verse 19 is so true and important. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. But notice he didn't say, just say, let the words of my mouth. And you know, we can do that in a religious sense. We can say, oh, I just need to make sure I'm speaking the right thing because people are hearing, right? People are listening, and I need to be careful what I say. That's not what God says. Let the words of my mouth, and then he regresses it. No, wait. Go before that. Let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Why? Because the meditations of my heart will manifest in the words of my mouth. That's wisdom. So you ask God often, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. What you need to do is quote the whole verse. Let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. That's wisdom. And when my thoughts are acceptable in his sight, then my dialogue will be thoughtful. It will be skillful. It will be helpful. You see, that's wisdom. I will not be guilty of foolish dialogue. And then, a life lived well in dialogue will also be a life lived well in discipline. Number two, discipline. And this is from verses 15 through 19. Discipline. Foolishness is fundamentally a lack of discipline. And we are called to be disciplined. Solomon challenges us to be disciplined in three different ways in this text, verses 15 through 19. First of all, discipline in craftsmanship. You have a craft. Whether you're working with your hands or with your mind or with your feet, You have a craft. What is your craft? You are to be disciplined in that craftsmanship. Look at verse 15 with me. The toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city. So what is Solomon saying here? The toil of a fool wearies him. Why does it weary him? It's hard. Why is his work hard? Because he has not mastered the fundamentals. Why has he not mastered the fundamentals? Because they are not pleasurable. Doing the hard things, doing the work, the behind-the-scenes stuff, they are not pleasurable. Take an athlete, for example. Those of you who have played organized athletics and you've had a coach, is all that's involved in that is you just show up to the game and just play whatever? No, there is something called practice. And part of that practice is the discipline of learning the fundamentals and mastering the fundamentals. And you master them by doing them over and over and over again. And it's not necessarily pleasurable, is it? It's hard work. Sometimes it's frankly painful. But it's necessary to be disciplined in craftsmanship. Same as with playing an instrument. Did you know I took 3 years of violin lessons? Don't laugh. No, I'm not going to play. I sold it 30 years ago. Do you know how hard it is to listen to someone learning the violin? I gave up on it. It just wasn't... I did not want to practice. The guitar, on the other hand, I picked it up when I was 15 years old. And I'd come home from school every day. It was a guitar very similar to that one. And it just had socks and nylon strings on it. And every time I came home from school, I'd spend a couple hours just playing the guitar.
Thanks for joining us here at Delight in Grace. You've been listening to Rich Powell, the lead pastor at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. The Delight in Grace mission is to help you know that God designed you to realize your highest good and your deepest satisfaction in Him, the one who is infinitely good. We hope you'll join us again on weekdays at 10 a.m.